Nice to see you all again.
很高兴又再次看到大家。
I was trying to think this morning how many years it's been that I've been coming this way to California. First I thought it's been at least 10 years. Then I thought again, thought maybe it's been more like 20 years. And I really am not sure. I couldn't tell you how long it's been, but a long, long time. And I want to thank you for your hospitality over the years. I came because I was filling in for somebody one year. And he never came back again. That wasn't because of me, he got sick. And so it's been my privilege to come. I met some of you for the first time today. And some of you I've known a long, long time, and it's nice to see you all again. It's always our desire when we come together to meet the Lord. You probably see each other enough. For me, it's a joy twofold. Number one, I get to see you again, which I don't see often, and I also get to meet the Lord together with you. I used to think that when I go to conferences and I go to speak at different places, I have to think of some really deep thoughts. I have to try to explain things that nobody can explain. I have to try to make you to leave confused. And over the years, it seems to me that the more times I come, the simpler it gets. The message is a very simple message. The gospel of Jesus Christ is understandable to anybody. And so are the truths after we're saved that he wants us to get a hold of. We can go deeper and deeper into those truths. Paul, near the end of his life, prayed that he might know the love of Christ. He said that love passes understanding. He prayed for the church in Ephesus that they might know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. The truth is a very simple truth. But we can go deeper and deeper into those truths. That's my desire this time also. I'm going to be talking about some very simple truths. But I want to grow into those truths. I want to know Christ by those truths in a better way. Peter said we have some wonderful promises given to us in the Bible. And by those promises, we are to become partakers of the divine nature. The more I can grasp the promises of God, and the simple truth of the Word of God, the more I become a partaker of Christ. And so it's again my prayer that we get to know Jesus better. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 17. I like the disciples. Some of you probably think I only know the Old Testament. It's really not by design, but I was looking over past years and noticed that every year I come, I speak about somebody from the Old Testament. I think it's been Abraham and Gideon. Some of you are nodding. Are you falling asleep already? Or just agreeing with me? I'd like to go to the New Testament. I do like the New Testament, and I do like the disciples. I like the disciples for a number of reasons. They remind me of me. And probably at times they remind
them, they reminded me of you. You see yourself in them. You find yourself acting like Peter. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not so good. Sometimes you're walking on the water, sometimes you're drowning in it. Those disciples were often confused. So am I. And those disciples were often bewildered about what the Lord was going to do next. So are we. Sometimes they had the wrong thoughts and ideas in their minds. So do we. Sometimes they were so fearful and afraid. So are we. But I'm thankful that the Lord was willing to work with that bunch. When they fell, like when Peter denied the Lord, the Lord didn't say, bye, go. I don't need you anymore. But he worked with Peter. And so he worked with all the disciples. And so he works with you and with me. And that gives me some hope. It encourages me to know that if he worked with them, that he'll work with me. There were times when the disciples asked or prayed prayers to the Lord. Now they talked to him all the time. But sometimes they requested from him by prayer. I've noticed a number of them recently in the Bible.
And
in Luke 17, we have one such prayer. And earlier, you remember another prayer the disciples prayed was, Lord, teach us to pray. That was a request that they had of him. So that's a good prayer to pray. We read in Romans that the Spirit helps our infirmity. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We heard last night that the Father is the Son, and the Son is the Spirit, and the Spirit's the Father, and the Father is the Spirit. And so when we say, Lord, teach us to pray, or when the Spirit helps us, it's really the Lord that helps us. It's okay if you pray that prayer. Lord, help me to pray. Teach me to pray. Not just to talk. But to pray. To pray in the Spirit. To let you pray through me and in me. Lord, teach us to pray. Here in the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus begins to talk to his disciples. At the beginning of the chapter, he says that there are things that cause people to sin that are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better if that person were to be a millstone to be hung about his neck and he'd be thrown into the sea. Because if you offend one of these little ones, you're in big trouble. So Jesus ended that by saying, so watch yourselves. Be careful the way that you live so that you don't offend somebody else. Whether a little one, that's a child, or just a little one in the faith. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't cause offenses to come through you. You gotta look at how you live and the impression that you're leaving on others. So the disciples heard Jesus say that. You know how sometimes we read even in the Bible how they would walk down and they'd quarrel among themselves. Wonder which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Oh yeah, did you hear what his mother said? His mother wanted him to one brother to sit on one side and the other one to sit on the other side of Jesus. I heard that. I don't know who he thinks he is.
I know.
I mean, it's a long walk from here to where your dormitory is, and I hear some of you. I don't really hear you, but the Lord hears you. You know, sometimes because of the way that we're talking and the way that we're doing and living, other people are offended by us. That's not good. But it's hard not to be an offense. If you think that's hard, look what Jesus says next. If your brother sins, then rebuke him. And if he repents, then forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in that day he comes back and says, I repent, then you just keep on forgiving him. How many times a day do you give to people? That's the 2nd time this year. How about 7 times today? This is not easy stuff. It's nice to be a disciple. It's nice to follow Jesus and see him break bread and make a miracle out of it. Nice to see him open up blinded eyes and call Lazarus out of a grave. But living and following Jesus isn't just watching what he does. It involves doing what he says. Most of us would rather watch what he does than do what he says. But you remember what he said was, you're a wise person if you hear my sayings and if you do them. So here are just 2 sayings of Jesus. Don't be an offense to anybody else. And if somebody sins against you and he repents, forgive him. Forgive him again and again and again. Well, in hearing that, the disciples now are about ready to break into a prayer. I think what's going through their mind is, this is hard. I mean, if you told me to forgive him once a month, maybe. But this is 7 times a day. This is hard. I don't want to forgive him 7 times a day. I don't even want to forgive him once. And so when they hear what Jesus is requiring of them, immediately in verse 5, their response to the Lord is, Lord, increase our faith. The prayer is just 3 words. It's almost a comical kind of a prayer. But I believe it was from a very serious bunch of men. They wanted to do the right thing. If they didn't want to do the right thing, they wouldn't be running around Judea with Jesus. They would still be fishing or collecting taxes. But they left everything because they wanted to follow him. They wanted to be good disciples. Their spirit was willing. But how often they found that their flesh was weak. They just didn't have the strength to do the things that he said. And so rather than do what we usually do, you know what we usually do? Okay, Lord, right. The Lord says, rejoice evermore. And we say, yeah, okay. The Lord says, pray without ceasing. And we say, okay. I'll do that too. We say, but do we do it? It's easy to say, yes, Lord. Oh, sure, you can count on me, Lord. Without a thought in our mind of ever, ever getting around to doing it. Where the Lord says, forgive your brother 7 times. Oh, sure, okay, Lord. And then, like the story Jesus told, we're walking back to our dorm and we see the brother that owes us, and we grab him by the neck and we say, "Give me what you owe me." It's easy to say, "Yes, Lord," but it's not so easy to do.
And
maybe when the Lord says something to us that we recognize is beyond our ability, instead of just writing it down and nodding our heads yes, maybe we need to pray. Maybe we need to pray, "Lord, increase my faith." Because I don't think I can do this, Lord. But help me to believe that you can. Help me to see my insufficiency and my inability. It's okay to recognize your weakness. It's okay not to think of yourself so high and lofty. It's okay to recognize that your sufficiency to accomplish what He tells you to do must come from Him. Or as Jesus said in John 15, "Without me, you can do nothing." And the sooner we learn that lesson, the better off we'll be. The sooner we recognize that really we can't do anything in our own strength. At best, we're weak. But when we recognize our weakness, the Apostle Paul said, that's where we find our strength. We find that our strength is from Him. We find with the Apostle that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so it would be my desire this morning, if before we left today, don't get your hopes up, we're not leaving yet. But before we leave today, that every one of you, young and old, are praying, "Lord, increase our faith." Now, you know, the prayer was a corporate prayer here. They said, "Increase our faith." Now, it's okay to pray, "Lord, increase my faith." But the disciples recognize that they're in this together. And I hope that you realize that we are in this together. The call of the Word of God is that we together believe Him. If two of you agree as touching anything, when Peter was put in jail, the church came together and united in faith and prayer for Peter. It's a wonderful thing to be able to agree together in faith. And we could pray this morning together, "Lord, increase our faith." The rest of the story, we'll get back to it in a little bit, but the Lord didn't answer the question or the prayer. At least it's not here in this chapter. I believe the Lord answered the prayer. I'll try to prove that to you in a little while, but He went on to then talk about faith. I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. Because what I would like to do for the next few minutes is ask you to turn with me to various places in the Bible and just read things about faith. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now we know, I think many of you know these by memory. And if you don't have a Bible to turn with me, or you don't care to because you just don't want to, just listen carefully. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the 6th verse, The writer to the Hebrews writes, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Faith is so critical to the Christian life that if you dissect it apart from the Christian, that Christian will never be able to please God. Number one, you have to believe that God exists. I would hope that I don't need to convince any of you here this morning that God exists. But maybe you need to be convinced that God rewards those who diligently seek after Him. That's what we're doing these next few days. We're seeking after Him. We want Him. We believe that He is. And so when we come together in faith. Believing that His Word said, if we gather together in His name, here He is in our midst. He's here to do us good. He's here to reward us. To bless us with good things. To daily load us with benefits. And as we diligently seek Him, He's going to be faithful to His Word. And He's going to lift the load of depression or sin or gloom or whatever it might be. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says the same thing that he does to the Galatians in the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse. He says that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live, the righteous shall live by faith. I would hope that every one of you here are righteous this morning. Not by your own righteousness, which is like filthy rags, but the righteousness imputed to you by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're one of those kind of people, then you're living by faith. That is, your confidence is in Jesus Christ. You believe in Him. You're living and serving Him. Without that, it's impossible to please Him. But you just didn't accept Jesus into your heart by faith and then throw faith out the door. But every day you're living by faith. Every day you're saying, Lord, I can't, but You can. I can live above the world. I can live above the circumstances. I can live in the glory of the Lord. I can walk in the Spirit.
I can or cannot?
You can, you better.
Sorry. 你可以活在圣灵的存在中,
the just live by that faith. And thank God that we can. In Hebrews 10, verse 38, it says the same thing as it does in those previous references I gave you. But it goes on and it says, but if you don't live by faith, the Lord will not have pleasure in you. I want the Lord to be pleased with my life. I want the Lord, when He looks at me today, say, I take pleasure in the way He or she lives.
And
we bring no pleasure to the Lord if we're not living by faith. I think everybody here knows John 3:16. Can you say it in Chinese? Try. Okay, now could you say it in English? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that's anybody, that's you, that's me, believeth in him, that's put your faith and your trust in him.
在这里讲到叫一切信他的，就表示任何人只要有信心就可以来相信。
In Acts 16, Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved."
然后在这使徒行传16章讲到说要信主耶稣。
In Galatians 2:16, Paul says that man is not justified by the law, but he's justified by faith.
哥罗西书第六章讲到说，人不是因行为称义，乃是因信心称义。
So all the way through from the beginning of our Christian life, where we ask Jesus into our hearts, to all the way through to the very end of our lives, it's a life of faith.
所以基督徒的生活是这样，从开始就是因着信心入门，而一路都凭着信心来继续。
But faith, just like a muscle, needs to grow.
信心就好像我们的肌肉需要变得操练，需要操练。
It needs to be worked at and increased.
需要操练，要才能强壮。
And sometimes, maybe those of you who are seasoned Christians find that your faith is small.
也许在我们当中年日久一点的基督徒，你会觉得说我的信心很小。
The need is great.
我的需要是这么大。
You find that the request or command of God is beyond your ability.
你觉得神对你的要求是超过你的能力的。
You find yourself praying, Lord, increase our faith.
你就会发现你有这样的祷告，说主啊，求你加增我的信心。
Turn to John chapter 20, if you would. Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 31. I think you all realize that the Gospel of John is a wonderful book. There are different miracles that are mentioned. There are all these I Ams of the Lord that are spoken about. And in the 20th chapter, the 31st verse,
在这里31节,
or actually the 30th verse, Jesus did a lot of other miracles in the presence of his disciples. And they're not all recorded in the Gospel of John. But the ones that are recorded are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that by believing you might have life through his name. So the reason why we read in John 4 of the wedding at Cana and the water turning into wine, and that miracle Jesus did, is that you might believe on Jesus Christ and have faith in him. The reason you read John 11 in the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead and Jesus saying, "Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God," is that you might believe and have faith in Jesus Christ.
在约翰十四章看到他叫尤拉巴路从死里复活，圣经告诉我们，叫你看见这事就可以相信他是神的儿子，叫你得着永生。
The reason Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, I am the light of the world, I am that I am." The reason he said that is that you might believe on him, and that in believing you might have life through his name.
主耶稣说，我就是复活，我就是生命，我是好牧者。 这些一读所讲，这一切就是为了叫我们可以信他，可以从他得生命。
The things that are written in the Gospel of John are written that you and I might be encouraged in our faith.
所有一切记载在约翰福音里的这些神迹，目的是叫我们的信心得着鼓励。
In 1 John chapter 5, John writes, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith."
在约翰在约翰一书里面，老约翰讲到，这看到这些事可以叫我们知道我们是得胜的。
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8.
我们一起看马太第八章。
Jesus would remark, on different occasions, as to the faith that he found in certain individuals.
主耶稣在这里，向着一个他所遇见的一个人里面的信心，做了一个。
You note certain things about the ministry and the life of Jesus that are important to note. One of the things you notice is that he always responds to faith. And wherever he went, he was always looking for people that had faith. Some places he couldn't do a whole lot. Because there wasn't any faith there. Think of it for a moment. Jesus Christ could not do many mighty works because of a lack of faith. You say, but wait a minute, he can do whatever he wants to do. He's powerful. Yes, but he uses his power in response to those who believe on him. He rewards those who seek him and believe him in confidence and in faith. In the 8th chapter of Matthew, in the 5th verse,
第五节,
Jesus goes into Capernaum and finds a centurion that says, Lord, help me, my servant is at home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus says to the man, I'll go heal him, I'll go right now. The centurion says, Lord, I don't need you to go to my house. I know what it's like to be in charge. I tell somebody, go do this, and he does it. To come, and he comes. Jesus, only thing you need to do is speak the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. And Jesus said to that man, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Your servant will be healed. Jesus responded to the faith of that man. It says he was astonished by that kind of faith.
Hey, I
wonder if anybody here has a kind of faith that astonishes Jesus. I wonder if Jesus looks at you and he goes, whoa! That woman has faith. That man has faith. When that man or woman prays, it shakes heaven and earth.
They
believe me. They don't just say that they do, they really do. I reward those who really seek and believe me in that way. I don't know, maybe he finds you like that. It seems as if he's looking all over the place for faith. When he comes back the second time, the question is asked, will he find faith on the earth? He's not going to have a contest to see how many Bible verses you learned. It's not how many conferences you attended. It's not how many sermons you preached. Did you believe any of it? Were you able to put your faith into it? Act upon it. And by virtue of that, move the hand of God to show himself strong and mighty on your behalf. It makes me want to pray, Lord, increase my faith. Because, you know, oftentimes I realize that I don't have that kind of faith. I stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Where we read that Abraham counted God faithful who promised. So I pray with the disciples, increase my faith. Later in that chapter, in the 26th verse, we find another occasion where Jesus responds to faith. I'm sorry, I got the wrong chapter. 9th chapter, 2nd verse. Four men had a friend that was very sick. Their friend was paralyzed. Any of you have a friend that's very sick? Let me see your hands. Anybody have a friend that's in great, great need spiritually? No, there are more hands going up. I think every one of us can identify. We have friends. If not ourselves, we have friends that are needy. This man that we're about to talk about does not believe Jesus. He's a sinner. He needs to have his sins forgiven. As well as having his body healed. Now the much greater need is the spiritual need. But these four men, they know that if they can get their friend to Jesus, that Jesus would be able to meet that need. Spirit, soul, or body. The only thing they needed to do was to get their friend to Jesus. And so they threw their friend on a stretcher and they started to carry him to where Jesus was. They got close and they saw people spilling out of the doorways of the house. Crowds of people. They got a stretcher they're trying to bring in through the doorway. I mean, most people would just turn around and go home. Forget about it. It's not going to happen today. Maybe some other day. That's what most people would do. Not these four men. They looked around a little bit. And they thought, we're still young enough, we can climb that roof. You two guys get up there. We'll hand you the stretcher. Now that took a little effort. But they wanted to get their friend to Jesus. They got the stretcher up on top of the roof. The two guys down below jumped up on the roof, and now all four of them are starting to dig up the roof. That's not only effort, now it's an expense. But they know that if they get their friend to Jesus,
you know,
that's faith. What do you know about if you got your friend to Jesus? Probably nothing would happen. If I got my friend to Jesus, they'd probably leave the same way that they just came. That's what I expect. According to your faith, be it unto you. When we expect nothing, guess what we get? Nothing. But when you expect everything from Him, when you have faith in Him, when you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'd say to the mountain, out of here, and the mountain would be removed. So they ripped up the roof. And they start to lower the stretcher down in front of Jesus. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus saw their faith, he didn't see the faith of the man that was sick or a sinner. I don't know if that man had any faith at all. But the four men that brought him did. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man that was sick, your sins be forgiven you. And then the story goes on, and I don't want to go on with that same story. The point is that you and I are called upon and can have faith one for another. Lord, increase our faith. In the 9th chapter, the 29th verse, Jesus, as he was passing down the road, heard somebody calling his name, Son of David, have mercy on me. When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Every one of you here, I don't know you all. I know a couple of you. And I kind of think that all of you have a need this morning. Whatever it is, big or small, you have a need, a circumstance, a problem, a situation. We were singing about it before in the song that we were singing. I ask you a question, the question that Jesus asked this man. I ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus is able for your need?
我的问题是说,
Do you believe that Jesus is able for your circumstance? Do you believe that Jesus is able for your children? Your husband or your wife? Your financial concern? Your physical need? But more importantly, do you believe that Jesus is able for your soul? Do you believe that Jesus is able to help you live the way He wants you to live? This man had a great need. He could not see. Jesus could have just healed them like that. But Jesus just doesn't heal people like that for the fun of it. He responds to faith. So he asks this man, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. And then he touched their eyes and he said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" All through the Bible. I could go to another 20 different places in the Gospels where Jesus responds to faith. Faith like a grain of mustard seed. Matthew 9, Jesus said, "Everything is possible to him that believeth." It's well that we ask with the disciples in Luke 17, "Lord, increase our faith." The needs are great, but Lord, our faith is small. Lord, I pray that you'll help my faith to grow. Lord, that I would simply believe your word. You know, I go to several conferences a year. Some of the conferences spend 90% of the time trying to pump the people up. Let's all get excited now. Everybody say hallelujah four times. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord three times. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now stand up and say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now sit down and say praise the Lord. Now smile at everybody. And now let's clap for the Lord. And we go all kinds of things to get ourselves all pumped up. What we need to do is just simply believe Jesus. Jesus doesn't respond to your emotion. He doesn't respond to how you feel. He responds to your faith. And you might have a very happy-go-lucky disposition, but no faith. You may be a very subdued, quiet individual. But you might believe the word of God. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 30, he got upset with his disciples when they didn't believe him. And again, I kind of think sometimes maybe the Lord's not very pleased with me, and maybe sometimes not pleased with you. It says in verse 28 of Matthew 6, "Why do you worry about your clothes?" Now, ladies, you ever worry about your clothing? It doesn't mean, you know, how you look and whether it's on straight or whether it's out here someplace. But sometimes we get worried about our temporal appearances and if we're going to have enough to wear. You got plenty in your drawers that you can't even stuff something else in, but you're worried about, "I don't have anything that's avocado." I need a powder blue bag to go with my powder blue shoes, to go with my powder blue kerchief, to go with my powder blue. Why do you worry about your clothes? Take a look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't labor, they don't spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?
So
don't worry. Don't worry. Oh man, that's hard. Don't worry. You mean I'm not supposed to worry? Some Christians spend half their life worrying. He says, don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you put on. The pagan people worry about those things. Oh, why don't you just have faith and I'll take care of you? And stop worrying about everything. Please don't raise your hand. But how many of you have worried this week? Oh, you of little faith. What did you say about me? I said you have little faith. How dare you say that? Don't you know how much faith I have? Sit down, I'll tell you how much faith I have. Don't you know that I know John 3:16 in Chinese and English? I went to summer conference and winter conference and I came all the way from San Jose. Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad you did all that, but why are you worried? The Lord's not pleased with us. It's an expression of our lack of confidence in our Lord. He made the heavens, He made the earth, He made everything in this earth and heaven. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in
His hands.
Yeah. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad He does. Oh, but I'm afraid. Oh, I'm kind of scared. But I'm not. Do you understand why sometimes we need to say, Lord, increase our faith? So that I don't have to worry anymore? How does it go there from Disney? Dakudamata. There you go. How does it go? Yeah, that's it. Don't worry. Be happy. No, that's not from the Bible. It's not from the Bible, but it's okay. Don't worry. Be happy. He's on the throne. He knows when one hair of your head falls to the ground. He knows when one hair turns gray. He even knows when you turn the gray ones back to black. He knows it all. So don't fear. Don't worry. Be happy. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. And so the disciples were, they were learning a lesson. And I need to learn the same lesson the disciples needed to learn. To trust Him for everything. In the 8th chapter of Matthew, Jesus again wasn't happy. And this is the story again. I thought my brother was going to preach my sermon for me. The disciples were in a boat with Jesus. A furious storm blows up and Jesus is fast asleep in the boat.
海里突然起了暴风, 但是耶稣却沉睡。
The disciples run over to Jesus and they wake him up and they say, Lord, save us, we're going to drown.
门徒来把他叫你说,主啊,救我们,我们要丧命啊。
And Jesus replies, you of little faith.
耶稣回答说,你们这小信的人啊,
why are you so afraid?
为什么胆怯呢?
I mean, the boat's going, woo, woo.
那个船在海中被抛来抛去,
water's coming over the sides.
水都进到,
and Jesus says, what's the matter with you? What are you afraid of?
耶稣说,
you know, maybe the water and the wind and the waves.
也许我们怕的是风,
but I think I can understand what Jesus was after.
但是我了解耶稣的意思是,
hey, what are you guys worried about? I'm here.
怕什么啊?
I'm in the boat.
我也在船里啊。
I never said you weren't going to have a storm.
我从来没有说你跟着我就不遇见风暴。
But I'm in the boat. Don't you know here I am? I'm here with you.
那你岂不知道我也在船上吗?
I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you so that you might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what anybody's going to do to me.
我永远不会丢弃你,以致你可以勇敢地说,我的主与我同在,人就不能抵挡我。
The Lord is my light, my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies came and rose against me, they stumbled and fell.
当若是主与我同在,他是我的坚固台,他是我的保障,谁能够抵挡我呢?若人来攻击我,他就要在主的面前扑倒。
See, the words come quick. The scripture verses are right there. They're flowing all the time. But I have to really have confidence in those words. And confidence is proved by my life. That when circumstances are adverse, I don't go off the deep end. I can face life with all the problems that it serves and deals me. I can face it with confidence. Oh, why are you so fearful? If you go with me to the 14th chapter of Matthew. Jesus isn't happy in Matthew 14 either. Verse 31. Peter was walking on the water. Did any of you ever do that before? She did? Would you like to come and tell us about your experience? Oh,
no.
Yeah, I tried it a few times. I really did when I was a boy. When I was up at Pilgrim Camp, I tried to walk on the water. I was all by myself. I didn't want anybody to see what would happen. I guess I was foolish. I don't know what I was, but I said, Lord, Peter could do it. Help me to do this too. I'm going to try to walk on the water from the dock to the raft. I took one step and but then when I grew up and I was an older, more seasoned saint, at Pilgrim Camp again, I did it. I walked on the water about a quarter of a mile, maybe a little more than a quarter of a mile. There's an island out there, and I walked all the way to that island. It was January in the middle of the winter. And the lake was about a foot and a half frozen. That's as close as I ever got to walking on the water. But Peter, you remember the story. Jesus came to the boat walking on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, come on. Peter jumped out of the boat and he started to walk on the water. But then it says that he saw the wind and he saw the waves all around him. He got his eyes off of Jesus and onto the circumstances. And he began to sink. And then he prayed another three-word prayer. prayer, he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter and lifted him up. And then notice immediately what Jesus does is begins to teach him or to help him. He gets Peter out of the water and he says to Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? It's because your faith is not what it should be yet, Peter. Your faith needs to be increased. You know, there again, we doubt. We've got question marks. The Lord wants to remove all the doubt and all the question marks. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We have to keep our eyes on Him. We have to keep our eyes on His Word. We have to meditate in it day and night. There are a lot of things that would cloud our vision and capture our attention. Even other brothers and sisters in Christ will distract us. But the Lord wants to increase our faith and help us not to doubt Him. 16th chapter, verse 8. The disciples are discussing among themselves. Where are they going to get bread from? And Jesus is talking here about yeast and these saying things that they don't quite understand. And in the middle of the discussion, they say among themselves, it's because we didn't bring any bread with us. Verse 8, Jesus, aware of the discussion, says, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Didn't you learn from what I did for you before? Don't you remember when I fed the 5,000? Don't you remember when I fed the 4,000? Don't you guys learn anything? How slow are you to believe? The Lord help us to believe Him quicker. I have seen a lot of healings in my life. Many years ago, my wife was almost dead, and the Lord healed her. She could tell you the exact day, time, hour when Jesus touched her. I was in the hospital once with a collapsed lung, and I remember the time the Lord healed me from that. And I would think that I should have learned something by now. This year there's a woman in our church that was diagnosed with cancer and it was quite serious and the Lord healed her. And yet sometimes when I'm faced with a new challenge, my first reaction is to fear or to doubt. I'm so slow. I should have learned by now that He's able. I think what He does for us in the past is to, in one sense of the word, help us to believe Him in the future. He wants to build on what He's done in our lives to increase our faith, to trust Him and to believe Him for greater victories. But sometimes we forget those things. We're slow to believe and we're quick to doubt. And there again, we need to find ourselves praying, Lord, increase our faith. Just one more from the 17th chapter. Here in the 20th verse. The disciples have come and had someone brought to them, and they couldn't heal this boy. They couldn't find the solution to the problem. They tried, they prayed, they did what they had to do, but to no avail. And then so the disciples brought this boy to Jesus, or they came to Jesus in private, and they said, Jesus, why couldn't we drive out this demon? And Jesus said, because you have so little faith. And then he goes on and says what we've said already. Because I tell you the truth, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed to say to the mountain, move from here to there and it will be done, because nothing will be impossible for you. So, getting back to Luke 17, Jesus says something to the disciples and they realize they need their faith increased. I hope that now you and I realize that faith is important all through our lives, that Jesus responds to it, and that Jesus is not pleased or satisfied by the lack of it.
现在我相信我们都知道，主耶稣是希望，主耶稣对我们生命中取得是对我们的信心是会有反应的，而对我们信心不足的时候，他是不喜悦。Maybe
there's somebody here this morning that says, you know, it's hard for me to believe that anybody who died 2,000 years ago could forgive me for my sins.
也许在我们当中，今天早上有人很难相信，有一个人在2000多年前为我死，是为了叫我的赦免。
I don't understand that.
我想不通这件事。
I mean, I know, I read it, I understand the story about the cross of Christ and about how he died, and I just don't get the connection.
我也读圣经，我也知道2000多年前主耶稣他在十字架上死，但是我就不知道怎么把他跟我爸爸。
I know that it says in the Bible that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. I know it says that whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but I don't know if I can believe that. The Bible says that the natural mind can't conceive the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness. You can't figure it out by your own intellect. It requires faith. It doesn't happen because we grow up with Christian parents. Because we attend a Christian church. There can still be a tremendous disconnect. We could know the story, know the words, but still not believe it. Now, it's not likely, but it's possible that there might be somebody even here this morning that doesn't even believe that Jesus died on the cross to save anybody from their sins. He can't. Maybe you'd like to believe it, but you find it too far-fetched, too hard to believe. You can't understand it with your intellect, so therefore you're not going to believe it. You know what you need to do? You need to say, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith in you to believe you. I don't get it. I can't understand it. But Lord, help me to get it and understand it. Help me to see by the Holy Spirit illumine the eyes of my understanding. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that you're saved and born again, but maybe you're like the disciples in Luke 17. You know, if it wasn't for this page of the Bible, you'd be okay. Maybe for some of you it's this page and this page and this page. If you can just rip out those pages, you'd be okay. Because that thing you just can't do. You just don't think that you'll ever be that way. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. And you're anxious about everything. And you took that page in Philippians right out of your Bible. You moved on to what you like better. Or maybe you've got, maybe you're like Euodius and Syntyche.
Hey, what?
Euodius, two ladies in Philippians.
Oh,
Euodius and Syntyche couldn't agree on about anything. They were quarreling, they were bickering, they were fighting among themselves. And Paul wrote to the Philippians and said, tell Euodias and Syntyche to cut it out and be of the same mind in the Lord. Maybe you said, but I can't stop that. I can't. I just can't. You got to get over that and say, Lord, help me to believe that you can. Maybe there's a sickness. Maybe there's a circumstance in your family. Savior, raise my faith in thee till it can move a mountain. Oh Lord, give me grace to trust you more and to believe you more. Maybe you'll find yourself praying today. Increase our faith.
主啊,加增我们的信心。
Increase our faith.
加增我们的信心。
Now, to the prayer that the disciples prayed, as I said, there was no immediate answer given that I see. But I'm pretty sure the prayer was answered. If you go through the book of Acts, and you turn page after page and reading the book of Acts, you'll find that almost in every page, be it Peter or John or Philip, or later on the Apostle Paul, the Lord is responding to faith. The same men that he had to upbraid because of their lack of faith, and now have grown in faith and are moving heaven and earth by faith. They found that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. They found that faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith in God can calm troubled seas. Faith in God can make the desert like a fountain. And throughout the book of Acts, the disciples are believing God. You don't find once in the book of Acts the Lord saying to them, oh, you have little faith.
Oh,
why are you so unbelieving? It's just the opposite in the book of Acts. I believe the Lord heard their prayer, increase our faith. A large answer to that prayer was that he sent the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. The Holy Spirit helps our insufficiencies and inabilities. The Holy Spirit is the power where we don't have power, the strength where we don't have strength. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the faith of the disciples was increased. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John are walking to the temple. They come across a man who hadn't walked, who's impotent in his feet. The man's sitting there with a little tin can or something, begging for money. Peter says to that man, look on us. That man looked up at Peter and John. And Peter said, I don't have silver and I don't have gold. But what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. The Bible says that man leaped up. He ran around the temple, leaping and praising God. It started an uproar among the authorities in that city. They grabbed Peter and John and they said, what did you do? How did you do this? What happened? And Peter said, don't look on us as if we, by our own power, have done anything. But it was faith. Faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through faith in that name, this man stands before you whole. Peter's not sinking anymore. He's not having to be lifted out and failing and falling and flopping and faltering and doubting. But now he has such authority in the name of Jesus and faith and confidence in that name to heal those that are sick. The last chapter of Mark's Gospel, the Lord says, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Through faith in his name. Oh Lord, increase our faith. Strengthen our faith in you this morning, Lord. These men who had little faith became men of outstanding faith, and they became men that were willing to die for their faith. In Revelation, we're admonished in the second chapter in the 10th verse. To be faithful until death. Not faithful until you're 65 and retired. Doesn't say be faithful until you're out of your teen years. And then worry the rest of your life about your kids and grandkids. Be faithful, be loyal to the call of God, to the word of God, to the will of God. All through your life. And if you're faithful until death, I'll give you a crown of life. When Paul got to the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy, Timothy, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And because I have, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me, but not me only, all those. Even you and even me, if I'm faithful to the end. We sometimes sing, I don't know if you sing it out here in Chinese, but we sing at home, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. So Lord, by your power, every hour, keep me true. Dear brothers and sisters, we've got to be willing to come down a few notches. To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. To realize that we are just dust. We are unworthy. We are incapable and insufficient. Without him we are nothing and can do nothing. But we need to say, Lord, you must help me. I take your grace. I take your strength. And I need you today more than I ever needed you before. Oh, but I'm more experienced now than I ever was before. I need the grace of God today more than I did yesterday. I need him to keep me true. Keep the faith. Be faithful until death. Let me just read for you something or give to you something in closing that I came across not too long ago. I had always known that the disciples of Jesus, these that we're talking about this morning, were men that had to be worked over and nurtured in their faith, and I knew that they all died in faith. It wasn't always easy for the disciples. There's a price that they needed to be willing to pay. But because of their faith, they were unable to pay that price. And I read that Matthew was martyred in Ethiopia, killed by a sword. John faced martyrdom when he was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil during persecution in Rome. He escaped that persecution.
And
was sentenced to work in the mines on the prison island of Patmos. Peter was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross. He felt himself unworthy to die the same way that Jesus
did.
James the brother of Jesus, the leader of the church,
雅各就是耶稣的兄弟,
was thrown 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of a temple where, when he refused, I'm sorry, that's not Jesus' brother, but the other one, when he refused to deny his faith in Christ.
雅各这不是耶稣的兄弟,他是被人从东南角上丢下这个超过100尺之多。
He fell down and was thrown down that 100 feet, but survived. And when they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat him to death with a club.
他被从那个殿里扔下来100尺之多,但是呢,他没有死,所以他们就把他活活的打。
The other James was beheaded at Jerusalem.
另外耶稣的兄弟,雅各是被斩首。
The Roman officer who guarded him watched in amazement as James defended his faith at his trial.
那个看守雅各的人呢,他很惊讶雅各一路所做的见证,所说的话。
Later that officer walked beside James to the place of execution.
以至于到终了,这位看守他的兵丁呢,也跟他一起走到他受刑的地方。
Overcome by conviction, he declared his new faith to the judge.
他被他所宣扬的,所感动的,而且相信的,所以他在那个法官的面前也称他自己是相信主。
And he knelt down and accepted beheading.
他就跪在雅各的旁边,一同被。
Bartholomew was a missionary to Asia.
巴多罗买,他到了亚洲去传福音。
He was martyred for preaching.
因着传福音的缘故而被,
whipped to death.
被鞭打致死。
Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross.
安德烈呢,他也是挂在十字架上死。
Thomas took the gospel to India.
多马到印度去传福音。
There on one of his many missionary trips was stabbed with a spear and killed.
他在那里被人用箭射死。
Matthias, the one who took Judas's place, he was stoned and then beheaded.
Hey,
I wonder if the prayer of the disciples in Luke 17 was ever answered. I wonder if Jesus ever increased their faith. Well, I would have to say by their life and by their death,
as
the Apostle Paul said, if only he's glorified. By the way that I live, by the things that I say and do, I want him to be glorified. Whether I live or whether I die, I want to bring glory to his name. At the end of Hebrews chapter 11, we read of men and women who died in faith. Some of them never received the answer to the promise that they were holding on to. But they were faithful unto death. Dear brothers and sisters, where are we?
弟兄姊妹们,
I mean, where are we in our faith? Have we started to live a life of faith? Are we like the just living by faith?
我们是那个义人因信得生吗?
Are we increasing in faith? Or do we need to pray yet this morning, Jesus, increase our faith? I wonder if you'd just bow your heads with me in closing. I'm not asking anybody to come to the altar to the front. But I just want to know if I struck a chord in anybody's heart today.
I wonder
if there are any of you that would say, oh, I need to pray that prayer. I need to say, Lord, increase my faith. I need to believe the Lord and his word and his promises more. I have too many doubts and worries and fears. I need my faith to be increased. And I would like to be among a group of people that would say, Lord, increase our faith today. If there are any of you like that, just raise your hand. Let me see if there's anybody that would pray that with me today. And that's most of you that are here. Now, I don't know what your difficulties are or needs are. But the Lord knows. He knows all about our struggles and our problems. He knows where we can't and don't think we ever will be able to. And He's able. I underscore, He is able to meet you. Jesus Christ is the same today as He was when He walked here on earth. He has all power in heaven and on earth. And He's just looking to respond to faith. A number of years ago, I was at a conference in the northern part of California. There was a woman there that had a growth on her neck. And after the meeting had ended, and people were just praying as often as done at the end of a meeting, all of a sudden there came a noise from her vicinity. And I found that growth just disappeared. It was very simply done. Jesus just responded to faith. He just came and met the need. He lifted that sickness. That's the kind of Jesus we have. He walks in the midst of the church. He goes up and down these aisles and in and out of these rows this morning. And you, like that blind man, can say, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus says, hey, but wait, do you believe that I can? You say, yes, of course, Lord, I believe that you can. The Lord says, according to your faith, be it unto you. There's a song that we have in our hymn book. Says, Lord, I believe. Lord, raise my faith in you till it can move a mountain. The verse of that song talks about all kinds of circumstances and problems. When my boat's rocking in the water too much and I don't think it's going to stay right side up very much longer.
But
it's just then that I need to believe you, Lord. It's in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the darkest night, in the middle of the greatest difficulty. Because often it's then where Jesus responds to our faith. Before we pray together, I wonder if we could sing that song together. I believe it's number 439 in our hymn books.
439.
Hallelujah. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe, Savior, help my faith in it till it can move a mountain.
in the strength of Jehovah's great arm. That's all how I find. When the waves strike the boat, it takes some believing to keep things afloat. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Maybe waves would take me to live to move about. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I guess you're buried in the sand. I'll stand to the end. When you heard people say, I'll fight till I die, and I'll never run away. But when such temptation so fiercely assailed, I'm bound on believing and thoroughly failed. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Save your elves and weak and meek. You live to move about. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I guess you're buried in the sand. And others there are, full of courage and zeal, who go to the battle like warriors of steel. Right in the heat of the conflict with sin, instead of belief, sing they faith and give in. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Save your lands by faith and faith to live to move on. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All the doubts are buried in the sun. Before we sing the last verse, think of what it is that you're having trouble with. Physical, spiritual, whatever it might be. Now take that thing over here on one side. And on the other side say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that you're greater. You're bigger. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And this looks big. But Lord, you're greater yet. Lord, you're able. And Lord, I believe. I believe your word, I believe your promises. I believe that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which I could even ask for. Let's just look to him together right now. Let's just ask him to meet every need represented in this meeting this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that we can come to you in confidence. We thank you, dear Lord, this morning that there's an open heaven. And that right from heaven you come down to where we are and you walk among us in our midst. Oh, Jesus, if we could just reach out and touch the hem of your garment. No, Lord, if you would just speak the word to us this morning. But Lord, we hear your word this morning. It encourages us to a life of faith, of confidence in trusting you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would strengthen our faith. Increase our faith, Lord. Where we can't and we feel insufficient, Lord, help us, we pray. Without you, we can't do it, Lord. We thank you that you've sent the comfort of the Holy Spirit to enable us, to strengthen us, to equip us, and to help us. We take that strength today, Lord. We thank you that you're able for every physical need. Lord, lay your hand upon those that are sick in this meeting. We pray that you'll stretch forth your hand to heal and let signs and wonders be done in your name. We pray for every circumstance in the family and in the home. Lord, the unsaved loved ones, the unsaved relatives, we would bring them by faith this morning and lay them at your feet, Jesus. We pray that you'll minister to them, Father.
Have mercy upon us, Lord.
主啊, 你有怜悯在他们的身上。
Raise our faith in you, Lord, we pray.
主我们相信你。
Oh, give us grace to trust you and to believe you more.
给我们的恩典,
I pray, Lord, that from the front row to the very back row, from the left to the right,
主啊, 从第一排到最后一排, 从最左边到最右边,
you would unite us as one to believe you this morning for everyone in this meeting.
主啊,
we might be given an ability to trust you and believe.
增加我们的信心好,
increase our faith.
主啊,
increase our faith.
主增加我们的信心,
for your glory and for your honor. We thank you for it, Jesus.
主我们感谢你,
Amen.
Amen.
Shall we sing that last verse?
让我们唱最后一节。
Oh, let us remember we run in our race, that faith is unwilling and trust in Christ the cross.
Yes, we may be people of little faith. But once we pray,
we
ask you to increase our faith. You will
sure
answer
a
prayer like that. You have mercy on us.
You
are full of loving kindness. And you intend to increase our capacity.
叫我们的信心搭在你的毛里,
so that we can ask.
Hallelujah, 我们凡事可以来向你求,
and we can ask you for everything.
And
we pray for the blessing of the church.
And we pray that
the blessing of the church. We thank you for that. We all have come to your feet.
Hallelujah,
今天这样的信息在我们的里面不过去, and we pray that message will not go away in vain. But we have been blessed this morning.
Now we can
come to you and pray. Lord, increase our faith.
Oh, hallelujah, 我们感谢, 赞美你,
we thank you, Lord.
你今天答应我们的祷告,
we know you'll answer our prayer.
Hallelujah, 我们是因信心而跟随主的人,
and we will follow you in faith.
Oh, 在信心的里面, 我们要达到你的荣耀里面,
and we'll reach the glorious destiny in faith.
哦，主，这些缠累我们的 都不看, 都没有办法拦住我们,
and nothing can stop us from following you.
望观以及耶稣,
we'll look up unto Jesus.
我们的眼目单单地注视在你身上,
and we fix our eyes upon you alone.
Hallelujah, 我们感谢, 赞美你,
thank you, Jesus.
奉靠耶稣基督的名,
in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.